C-minus 59. McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. This is just a dream, Dan told himself. The scene before him was familiar, a valley etched forever in his mind, a valley in Lolo National Forest. There was nothing and no one around him in any direction, and the only thing more unnerving than the absolute tranquility was his unprecedented lucidity. Dan had never felt anything like this, aware that he was dreaming but in control of his dreamtime thoughts and even his dream world movements. The closest feeling he could think of had come many years in the past, when he had dreamed of looking down at his sleeping body, but even that was nothing like this. This time he was experiencing a fantasy in first person, somehow both immersed in the dream and aware that it was, ultimately, just a dream. He looked up. He decided to look up, and there he saw the most awe-inspiring night sky he had ever seen. The depth of color was like something from an astronomy textbook, and the breadth of star coverage was breathtaking. Breathtaking, however, was an insufficient adjective for what came next. First came a sudden and total flash, less like the Kerguelen bolide than the full-screen camera interference that had been caused by the messenger's previous Earth-based interventions. When the brief flash faded, an extremely prominent triangle filled a small area in the central part of the sky. Dan made an effort to remember its apparent size, as well as its position relative to the waxing moon and some of the most immediately familiar constellations. As quickly as the flash had faded, it returned, and this time it brought Dan back to reality. "I'm not dreaming anymore," he thought, suddenly feeling very different. The next thing he was aware of was a cold and wet sensation on his cheek, immediately followed by a more general feeling of being freezing cold. Wait, I'm not even in my bed. Dan's vision then returned as his eyes shot open, only to be temporarily blinded by a bright but localized light source. He instinctively raised a hand against the beam and was straightaway able to make out the shape of a dog right beside him. A spaniel, by the look of it, which had been happily licking his face until he came to. Dan repositioned his hand and saw that this was not just any old spaniel. The feeling under his other hand was that of flattened corn, and it didn't take long for his mind to fill in the blanks. The flashlight beam quickly moved away, allowing his eyes to adjust and in doing so to confirm that he was indeed sitting in a small but neat crop circle. The holder of the flashlight then held it at arm's length and pointed it back towards himself. The man's other hand, by his side, was holding a shotgun. The beam slowly moved up to the man's face, confirming what Dan had already assumed to be true but had hoped to be wrong. Dan closed his eyes momentarily and took a deep breath in preparation for whatever was coming next. Whatever that might be, he knew it couldn't be good. Because right there, stern and intense at the edge of the circle, stood none other than Richard Walker.